Good morning, church. Kids, y'all are dismissed. Head back to class. Look at all those cutie little heads. Did I hear some cheers over there? That's good. Hey, I will take kids cheering in church any day of the week. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 and also 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Matthew chapter 6 and 2 Corinthians 5. Ah, I'm having one of those days where I didn't put bookmarks in my own Bible. I hate when I do that. In fact, that's like a rookie mistake. I should be over by now as far as preaching is concerned. Matthew chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to throw in my own announcements for you. Didn't even run these by Sam. No. My big announcement is Sam's amazing, and we love him. Also, wait, big announcement. Jordan, stand up and show off your vest. You're looking good today. Look at that, the power vest. Priscilla, I hear you love the vest. Praise the Lord. We've got Honest Conversations podcast is back this week. Brooke and I did a few recently. So we've got one. Brooke is talking about the book that she's putting out this year. We are reposting an old one from back in the day. You'll hear about all that. And then we're talking about Lent, and we have the Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday. So those are going, there's a handful of episodes going up tomorrow, I believe, Diego. I think tomorrow. So that'll be fun. We'll have some coming out for the next couple of weeks. And that's as far as that plan goes. So just want you to know, if you care about that, it's back. All right, we are finishing up our Kingdom Fruit series this morning. I hope you've been encouraged over these 6 weeks together. That means we're 6 weeks into the year. I was telling somebody this week, I am noticing I'm starting to say all of the things I used to think old people said. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's 55 degrees in February. This is amazing. I'm so happy. That was one. Another one, we're talking about my kids growing up. You know, it just happens so fast. And I'm like, no, but seriously, it really does. And we were saying it's the best thing in my life and the worst thing in my life. So that was kind of a thing I used to think old people said. And now I'm saying it. And the last one was, I can't believe it's already mid-February. You know? So, yeah, thank you, Natasha. She said, welcome. I've crossed the line, and I'm happy to be here, honestly. I don't even want to go back. Also, John West, I'm really happy for you today, man. 49ers in the Super Bowl. So if you're like me and you don't even know who to vote for, who to cheer for, just do it for John, cheer for the 49ers, and we'll see. Oh, man. All right, so we are finishing up our Kingdom Fruit series this Sunday. We are discussing what the Lord is bringing our attention to in 2024. We talked about the first week out of Matthew chapter 1, the strong word from Jesus that he gave to people who were listening to him speak, some people who thought that they kind of had the kingdom of God based on their pedigree and different things like that. He said, no, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, which, good to know, you can have the kingdom of God taken away from you. So that's scary. It's like, wait, weren't we just laughing a few seconds ago? What happened to the fun in church? And Jesus says it's going to be given to those producing the kingdom's fruit. We want to be people who are not having the kingdom of God taken away from us, but we want the kingdom of God. That's why we're here. We want to be people who produce the fruit of the kingdom of God. We're thankful that Jesus doesn't just leave us hanging there and it's just, okay, well, go figure it out. Hopefully you produce kingdom fruit. In Scripture, God has outlined for us what a lifestyle of kingdom fruit looks like, and church history testifies and demonstrates to us what a kingdom fruit lifestyle looks like. We've been talking over these weeks, what does the lifestyle of kingdom fruit look like? We want to do that. How do we get practical on that? We've been talking about our language here at Antioch Indy. The way we've kind of captured that lifestyle is what we call our five values. We didn't just invent these. This is just kind of our words for the kingdom fruit lifestyle. So I want to just make sure we refresh on those as we finish this up, because this is kind of a big deal, and I hope this isn't just some sermon series that comes and goes. It's like, I want to bear kingdom fruit. So the first one, the first element of a kingdom fruit lifestyle is personal devotion. Personal devotion. And what does that mean? It means your relationship with Jesus. If you want to bear kingdom fruit, you need to have relationship with Jesus. The second one is making disciples. Jesus tells us to make disciples. We here this morning are the fruit of Christians making disciples. What does making disciples mean? It means you teaching others to follow Jesus. You teaching others to follow Jesus. The third was life group, what we call life group, which is you devoted to following Jesus with a group of people. Scripture outlines that for us. Church history demonstrates to us those who bear kingdom fruit are devoted to following Jesus with a group of people. The fourth one was last week. We talked about corporate gatherings, us Christians getting together. And the definition we gave to that is corporate gatherings is you participating in the local body of Jesus. Jesus is building his church. And this value of getting together as the church isn't just an attendance thing, it's a participation thing. I want to be alongside Jesus as he is building into his church. And we get to do that through the local church. That's kind of that primary way that we get to participate in that. So not just attend church on Sundays, but are you participating in the body of Christ that you are part of? It's an important element of producing kingdom fruit. The last one this morning that we're going to talk about is life on mission. Life on mission, which means this, you participating in the purposes of Jesus. Life on missions. You participating in the purposes of Jesus. Would you go ahead and stand with me for the reading of the Word of God? We're going to read Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. And then we'll switch over to 2 Corinthians 5 and read a few verses there. Matthew chapter 6, we are reading the Lord's Prayer. I'm glad we started this service with it as well. Matthew 6, chapter 9, Jesus says this, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this morning, for this gathering together. Thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you for every person in this room. I pray that you would help us love you in our time together and love one another. We pray that you would come and teach us and train us up in your word and in your kingdom. We pray that the result of us being gathered here this morning would be that we spur one another on, like we talked last week about, we spur one another on towards love and towards good works and towards you and endurance and perseverance and holding fast to our faith. Come, Holy Spirit, build us up and teach us. Open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word this morning, that it would take root in our hearts and grow and bear much fruit. We want to be those who participate in your kingdom and produce its fruit. So would you come, Lord Jesus? In your holy name we pray. Amen. So we're on the last week of this Kingdom Fruit series, and most weeks of the last 6 weeks, I've had the question at least one time, hey, that's great, great sermon, Pastor Andrew, but what is Kingdom Fruit? You're telling us to produce it, we're talking about the lifestyle that produces it, but like, what is it? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Is it healing or miracles? Is it, you know, kind of, everybody kind of gives their own little bullet point list. And I want to encourage us, like, yeah, totally, all that. Kingdom fruit, what is it that we're trying to produce? How do I know if I'm producing kingdom fruit? What is it that I'm looking for? Kingdom fruit, as we're talking about it, is basically just like all godly things. Any and all godliness is what we want producing from our life. So what does it mean that God is going to produce kingdom fruit in your life? It means he's going to produce godly things in your life. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Is healing kingdom fruit? Absolutely. But it's not like the kingdom fruit. You know what I'm saying? The fruit of the Spirit? Yes, absolutely. Kind of encompasses everything. It is also kind of specific. Is it encouragement? Is it all those things? Yes. Look for godly things in your life, and that right there is evidence of God producing his kingdom fruit in you. Praise the Lord. Any good and godly thing. So really, what we're talking about today as we define it in Life on Mission, if you look at that definition, you participating in the purposes of God, this is sort of like the culmination of all the kingdom fruit thing. When we talk about living life on mission as an element, an essential element in living a kingdom fruit lifestyle, that's not the same as saying you have to be a missionary or you have to go do some certain specific act of something. Missionaries and missions and all these things, is that kingdom fruit? Absolutely. Does that mean you're not bearing kingdom fruit unless you do that? No, that's not what that means. What we're talking about is that to live a lifestyle of kingdom fruit, then of course we have to participate in the purposes of God. What are you looking for in your life? Just find the purposes of God, where you are, when you're there, with whom you are around, and participate with God in his purposes in that person's life. In your life, in that situation, in that moment. God has a purpose, and he's inviting us to participate with him in it. I want to be on the mission of God. I want to be on the purposes that he has in his heart. To bear kingdom fruit, you're participating with God. One way we've prayed it around here in the past, around a kingdom conference, is your will, your way, your power. You know, I just love that. I want to be a part of God's will, and I want to be a part of his will and his way, not my way. Sometimes I pray, Lord, do your will, but do it my way. His will, his way, his power. His power. What does it mean to participate in the purposes of God? Well, first, I want to talk about encouraging you towards participating in the purposes of God in you. God has purposes in you. He has a purpose for you to participate in. That's why we read the Lord's Prayer. I want you to turn in your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches us how to pray. in Matthew chapter 6. We spent our whole Lent season last year going through the Lord's Prayer. I really encourage you to check that out if you want to grow in prayer. But I want you to have an understanding and a vision that Jesus, as he's teaching you to pray, he's teaching you how to participate in his purposes in you. This is the prayer life that sets the tone for how do I participate with God's purposes in my own life? Because, you know, participating in the kingdom, it pretty much centered around prayer. We need to be, like we talked last year, in union with God, in communion with God, and in partnership with God. That's what prayer is. That was the name of the series last year. So Jesus is teaching you how to be in union with him and in communion with him so that you can partner with him in your own life. We'll just go quickly through these seven phrases, and I want you to learn from Jesus. Lord, how are you leading me to participate with you in your purposes in my life? Jesus is setting you up. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Participating in God's purposes for your life begins with him pouring out his revelation that he is our Father. He is our Father. That gives identity of who we are individually as his children. But as an individual child of God, part of my identity is that I'm part of us, the children of God. Jesus doesn't teach you to pray my Father. He teaches you to pray our Father. He brings me into the church. He brings me into his children. He brings me into his household as he teaches me to pray, our Father. He's teaching me participate in his kingdom, in his house, and with my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. Identity is part of his purpose in my life. Worship is part of God's purposes for your life. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. Part of the purpose in your life is to declare and believe and profess the holiness of our Father in heaven. He's leading you in identity. He's leading you in worship. Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is leading you in the purposes of God for your life. What is the purposes of God in you? His will, his kingdom. We just talked about this. His will, his way, his power. When you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Aren't you starting with in me as it is in heaven? I want to demonstrate the will and the kingdom of God in me on this earth so that it will be on this earth as it is in heaven. I want to participate with God, bringing his kingdom in and through my life, doing his will in and through my life. He's leading you in surrender. This is the purpose of God in you. This is what it takes to bear kingdom fruit, surrendering your will, surrendering your kingdom, and participating with him in his. Lord, whatever my day is looking like today, whatever you're doing in me, I want your kingdom in me. I want your will in me. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. What does it look like for you to participate in the purposes of God in your life? It looks like you relying on him. That's how you participate with him. You fully rely on him. You surrender to him. You are dependent on him. You trust in him. You are thankful to him. Part of the purposes of God in you is to pull you out of the love of money and the love of the world, to set you free. Part of God's purposes in your life is to lead you out of fear and anxiety and discontentment and grumbling and complaining and lead you in to a childlike place before your Father in heaven who is holy. And you have this prayer that becomes your belief that produces your actions out of, Lord, Give me this day my daily bread. What you give me is what I need. It brings you into thankfulness. It brings you into praise. It brings you into freedom. I remember talking to this cowboy one time in Colorado, long story, but he was awesome. And we're like on this horse ride, and he runs this ranch, and there had been this big fire that had gone through their lands and all this sort of stuff. It had been a wild handful of years, and he was like a for real cowboy. So I remember talking to him, and his name is Tony. I mean, that's how you know. He wasn't just dressing up. And I was asking him, you know, I'm like, what, you know, like, how have you made it through these last few years? I know it's been really stressful. Have you been scared and anxious and, you know, just how you doing and all that stuff? And he's like, well, you know, I learned a long time ago, I'm responsible for what God does give me, and I'm not responsible for what he doesn't. I thought, all right. And now I think that sounds a lot like, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I receive everything you've given me today. I'm going to steward it with thankfulness and gratitude and hope and faith and love and joy and generosity and freedom. And I'm not going to take responsibility for all you haven't given me. I'm not going to be anxious over what I don't know and what I don't have. I'm not going to be controlling over who and what I'm not responsible for. I'm not going to be controlling over who and what I'm not responsible for. Maybe I just need to say that again for myself. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. God's purpose in you today is for him to provide for you what he knows you need, for what he has put in front of you, for what he has purposed in you and for you. That's how you participate with him and his provision. Give me this day my daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A big part of God's purposes in your life is forgiveness. Which I'm really thankful for, because I need a lot of forgiveness, and that part's fun. And you need to participate with God in that. You need to receive his forgiveness for you and not reject it, not make it cost something that he said it doesn't cost, not produce hoops to jump through that you think you ought to have to jump through, but he didn't say you have to jump through to receive forgiveness. Participate in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Remember the blood of Jesus. We take communion every week. Lord, thank you for your blood poured out for us, the forgiveness of sins. Lord, if I want to participate with you today, I've got to recognize that, as crazy as it sounds, I am forgiven. And that is glorious. And what's also glorious is that I then have to forgive my debtors. Also fun, right? And Jesus knows what he's doing here. He says, teaches us to pray, Lord, forgive me as I forgive others. It's like, ah, ouch. That hurts, doesn't it? Do I really want God to forgive me the same way I'm forgiving somebody else right now? It brings the fear of God. That's a good, loving rod of discipline from our loving Father in heaven, teaching us how to give the forgiveness that we have been given. You want to participate in the purposes of God in your life, you have to understand that freely you have received forgiveness of the Father. Now freely give forgiveness of the Father. Yeah, you need to forgive people, but forgiveness really starts with you giving others God's forgiveness. And you have to receive that to have it to give. Forgiveness is a huge piece of you participating in the purposes of God. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God's purpose for you in your life is holiness. It's obedience. Sounds like personal devotion, right? We've talked about how these all feed each other and they're kind of not really all separate from one another. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. To bear kingdom fruit, I need to participate with God's purposes for me to be holy, for me to obey. God wants you to be holy. He wants you to obey. And producing kingdom fruit means you living on God's mission for you. God's mission for you is that you live in his holiness, that you live in obedience to his word. It's part of being on the mission of God. Jesus in his grace outlines for us in the Lord's Prayer, what does it look like for me to participate in the purposes of God in me? I have to participate with his purposes in me. Life on mission also, though, means you participating in the purposes of God in the world. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What is God's mission in the world? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. His purposes in me is that I be reconciled to him. His purposes for me to participate in the world is that I'm participating in his ministry of reconciliation to the world. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are participating with him in his purposes in the world. That's what an ambassador does. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Life on mission looks like you being an ambassador for Christ, carrying his name, being about the business of his kingdom. Which is, he is reconciling the world to himself. He is declaring to the world that he became sin, even though he knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God. And I know it's true because I'm participating in that purpose in me. And it's true for you too. I'm not trying to tell you it's true for you when I don't believe it for myself. I'm participating with the fact that he has reconciled me to himself. And now I'm participating with him and imploring you to be reconciled to him as well. In every relationship you have, in every moment that is in front of you, it's an opportunity to demonstrate the will and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Your friendships, your parenting, your spouse, your family relationships, discipleship relationships, friendships in the workplace. You are an ambassador for Christ. Life on mission means whatever situation I'm in, I am concerning myself with what God wants to do here. I'm concerning myself with what God wants to do in you. I'm concerning myself with partnering with him and discerning by the Holy Spirit, what is my part to play in God reconciling this situation to himself? God reconciling this person to himself. God in our conflict reconciling you and me to himself. Partner with God in anything and in everything. This is what I want you to understand. Sometimes life, we hear something like life on mission, similarly to making disciples, and it becomes something that means something about that narrow. But we talked in making disciples. No, you are showing somebody to the world. In everything, in anything, everyone, all the time. So yes, you will meet with people for what we will call discipleship also. And everything you do in every situation that you are demonstrating somebody to the world. Is it Jesus? life on mission in the same way. It's not just the mission trip that we go on. It is, I am carrying some mission everywhere I go. Every conversation that I have, every parenting moment that I have, every interaction with a roommate, every meeting with a coworker, I have an agenda. I have a purpose. Whose is it? Is it the Lord's? Live your life on mission with God. So you can live on mission in your relationships. And one amazing way to live life on mission, explore what those opportunities are, is surprise of surprises at church. This is a great opportunity. There's so many awesome people in here doing so many different things. And we get to do this together. I want to tell you about two specific things that are available that I really want you to consider your participation in that are in front of us right now as a church. Number one, you've been beginning to hear about it, is Alpha Course. We've been doing this a handful of times over the last year or so. It's a 10-week group that is designed specifically for people who are not in church or who are not Christians or who have questions of their faith. It's going to happen Tuesday nights at Ascend. It's starting in mid-March. And I really want all of us to be praying and partnering with God. Lord, who in my life can I invite into Alpha Course? God is pursuing people in your life. And the question is simple. It's not, how can I make this happen? The question is, Lord, will you bring to mind who it is that you're pursuing and I can partner with you in that? And you're inviting them to this. It's such a great opportunity. We've seen that as we do these, the highest kind of percentage of people who come are coming because somebody that they trust and love and know invited them. So do the social media thing, but think about who's the friend, who's the neighbor, who's the coworker. Who's the family member that you can invite to this easy entry environment to come and ask all the questions, discuss all the questions? It's led by some incredible people. The details are up on the screen. But I just want you to be putting this on your radar. This is an amazing way to step in to living on mission, specifically pursuing those who don't know Jesus. Opening up your eyes to who it is in your life that is not walking in the reality of being reconciled to Christ. We are ambassadors for him. He is making his appeal through us. Be reconciled to God. And we get to partner with him in that. It might be something that you bring them to at least the first time. Be willing to come the first time. And, you know, honestly, it's one of those things, if they come and they don't like it, they just don't have to come back. It's great. No big deal. I really encourage you, take ownership of this one. Lord, take this as an opportunity. Take this as an opportunity. Lord, who is it? Who is it in my life? And so everything I just said about, you know, friends, that's kind of the highest percentage of people. Also, this guy came, I met him in a Target parking lot, and he had a Tacoma too. And so we started talking about Tacomas, and he came to Alpha and joined a life group and stuff. So you never know what's going to happen. It's just so, so cool. Also, Tacomas are anointed. I've known it this whole time. Now we all know. But assume God wants to include you in his pursuit of people. And the reason I can tell you to assume that is because he said it right there. We are his ambassadors. Let's participate with him. The other way that we want to be open to participating in the will of God and in the purposes of God is in the nations. That's why we have the painting on the wall out there. Andrew, I thought we weren't talking about going on mission trips, so I didn't have to go. You don't have to go, but you can participate in what God's doing in the nations. And it is so good for us to participate in that. You can participate in what God's doing in the nations kind of always in one or any of these three ways. You can pray, you can give, or you can go. These are opportunities that we all have to be, just stay awake to the body of Christ? How can you be praying for the body of Christ around the world? How can you be praying for the lost around the world? What do you do when you see that thing on the news that's totally overwhelming, that you can't do anything about, that is totally confused? You can pray. You can pray. Regardless of whatever all the opinions are, there are people who Jesus loves that need him. You can always cut through the garbage, cut through the confusion, and you can get to that bottom line, and you can participate in the purposes of God on the earth. You can pray. We have Nations Prayer that happens on Thursday nights, Prayer for the Nations, sorry. And it's every other Thursday. Stop by the Connect area on your way out if you want to get together and learn, like, what does it mean to pray for the nations. It meets at the Ramos' house. Such an awesome thing. Killer people. You just, if this has any inkling inside of you, just go at least once. Phenomenal, phenomenal opportunity to pray. You can give. If you want to take that step of saying, God, I want my heart to be in what you're doing outside of my little world. There's a bazillion opportunities to give financially, whether it's a lot or a little. You can tie your heart to what God's doing in the nations. And of course, you can go. We do have trips happening every year. Now that Austin's on board, we're going to have more trips happening every year. We've had so many people in our church who have had a heart to go on short-term or longer-term missions. And one thing that I want you to know is that if your heart burns for the nations, to go to the nations, I want you to know that you, of course, are absolutely able to go find an organization to go with, but you don't have to. Antioch is one of those. You can go inside the Antioch family. We are able and capable of training you and sending you to the nations. And I just want you to know that. Over these weeks, we've been spending some time talking about making sure that we remember that we are part of this amazing story as Christians. And as we wrap up this series, I want to make sure to share with you a little bit about the story that you're a part of, just as part of this little Antioch family. You see the mural, we'll call it, when you come in with the stickers all over the world. But I want you to know a little bit about what it means that we are a part of this as a family. The Antioch movement is named after the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 11. John West gave a great message on this last June that I really encourage you that if this is your church home and you haven't listened to that message, that's a great one to get some understanding of what was happening at the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 11. That's why Antioch is called Antioch that you're a part of. So it's just some good background that I want you to know about. So I really encourage you to listen to it. But in summary, Antioch in Acts 11 was a local church that had sprung up outside of Jerusalem. And it was a local church that gathered all kinds of different people, different gifts, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, all kinds of different talents and people so that they could preach the gospel. It is the church that Barnabas was sent to help lead. And he got there and said, you know what this church needs? Some guy I met named Paul. And so he goes to the wilderness of Tarsus and grabs Paul and brings him into his first leadership opportunity as Paul was in the Lord. How cool is that? Antioch became then the church that the elders fasted and prayed and sent Paul and Barnabas out on their first missionary journeys. The specific mission that we're part of in the body of Christ as the Antioch movement started in the basement of Highland Baptist Church in like 1988, 1989. Jimmy Seiber and his wife, Jimmy was on staff, a college pastor at this Highland Baptist Church, and him and his wife started like a discipleship school, basically. They got a little classroom in the basement of the church. They had about 8 people, met Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, praying and fasting and teaching and seeking God for like 6 or 7 months. After that, they went and spent 3 months out in Papua New Guinea with some missionaries that were taking the gospel to people groups who had never heard of Jesus before. As Jimmy stayed on staff at Highland Baptist Church, him and Laura continued that school happening in the basement for the next few years and started planting churches out of this little basement discipleship school. So they started this mission organization called Antioch Ministries International. And in 1991, they planted their first church out in Siberia in Irkutsk, ends with a K, Russia, in 1991. As they continued planting churches, discipling people, by 1999, Highland Baptist Church kind of was blessing Jimmy and Laura to go start their own church and spread their wings and fly, as you would say. And that was in 1999. Around that same time as they planted Antioch in Waco, they also planted their first U.S. churches as part of the Antioch Network out in Boston, Massachusetts. They wanted to be a local church in Waco that wasn't just a local church in Waco, but a local church that planted churches all around the world. Today, there's over 150 teams in the U.S. and around the world. About 50 churches in the U.S. and 100 or so teams around the world. As part of that church in Waco, in about 2007, 2008, there was this Texas A&M Aggie named Tyler, who was dating a Baylor girl named Ashley. And Ashley went to Antioch, and as they were dating, Tyler started going to Antioch. They ended up getting married, and they did the discipleship school at Antioch Waco. It was basically a different version of what had started in 88 in the basement of Highland Baptist was now happening in 2008 in the basement of Antioch Waco. They started doing the discipleship school, and as time went on, Jimmy asked them if they would go to College Station and start an Antioch church there. They prayed about it. They ended up moving and launched in 2009. In the spring of 2009, disconnected from what was going on with Tyler and Ashley, I was a kid at Baylor, ending my freshman year, deciding finally, you know what? I really am going to start following Jesus, giving myself to personal devotion, being discipled and making disciples, devoting myself to following Jesus with a group of people. A few years later, I graduated from Baylor, married my wife, Heather, and we started the discipleship school, still happening in the basement of Antioch Waco. As our time was coming up to the end of that year, we were asking for guidance from pastors. Hey, Heather and I don't know what we want to do with our lives. We can't agree on anything, but we do know we love Jesus, we love the church, and we want to be a part of this family, this Antioch family. Anything we can do to help. Long story short, we narrowed it down to moving to Dubai to go be a part of some different things happening in the Middle East, or 100 miles down the road from Waco in College Station, Texas. So we went and visited both places and met Tyler and Ashley for the first time in 2013. We moved there in the fall of 2013 as the associate college pastor. A few months later, Tyler asked me to be the executive pastor and do a bunch of other stuff. And a few months after that, Jimmy asked me if I would ever consider moving back to Indy to start a church. And I said, not really. He said, I think you should pray about it. So talked with Tyler, and we began praying for months, fasting and asking people in our life. And along the way, that's when God spoke to us to preach the gospel of the kingdom and make others great. And he put a love in our heart to move back and start something called Antioch Indy. I told God he could send us anywhere in our lives, and I never expected it to be Texas and Indiana. In fact, when Heather and I were getting married, before we got married, I said, I don't know what God's going to do with us, but what I do know for sure is we won't be in Texas, and we won't be in Indiana. So by 2016 came around, God had moved us to Texas, and it was time now to come to Indiana. We started in our house in Broad Ripple in May of 2016. After about a few months of that, we moved downtown to another basement, the basement of Old National Center. We were there for about a year, and then we made it here to this shopping center. And now you're here. Not in a basement anymore, praise the Lord. But I want you to know that as a Christian, you are part of an incredible story. God has a purpose on the earth, and as a Christian, you're a part of it. And as part of this Antioch family, you're part of an incredible story. From basements in Waco, Texas, to the basement of my house in Broad Ripple, to the basement of the Old National Center, to an old furniture warehouse in Castleton, you are part of an incredible purpose of God on the earth. Living on mission is what we do as Christians, and it's what we do as Antioch. We have a passion for Jesus and his purposes in the earth. And having a true passion for his purposes means actually participating. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw aside every weight and sin that clings so close and run this race marked out for us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of our Father in heaven. There is a God in heaven, and there is a church on earth. There's a Spirit of God in his people, and he is moving. Living on mission is not a question of us making something happen for God. It's a question of if we will participate in what he's already doing. I want you to stand as we close this morning. Our prayer team is going to be up at the front to pray. If you need prayer for anything in your life, come on, Chris. I never told them when to come up, so they're not late. I just didn't tell them. So prayer team, come on up. I'm going to pray for us as we wrap up this Kingdom Fruit series, that we would be a people who produce his fruit. If there's anything you need prayer for in your life, come up and get prayer before you are done. I know there's only a few minutes left in our scheduled time, but it's going to be okay. This is better than Usher at halftime. I mean, I'm sure Usher's going to be great, but I'll take this. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for the invitation to be included in what you're doing. We thank you for our mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters who have gone before us. We thank you for this Antioch family that we get to be a part of around the world. And we thank you for this church that's bigger than any one of us. We thank you for your purposes on the earth. We thank you for your kingdom that you announced and inaugurated. And we pray, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to participate with you, Lord Jesus. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would come in your merciful conviction. You would highlight every weight and sin that clings so close and bring us to repentance that we might run and participate with you in your holy and glorious and eternal purposes on the earth. In Jesus' name, let's worship together.